Hey everyone, it's Don Wyatt with the 25-Minute Message. And you might remember, the 25-Minute Message is brought to you by Hebrew Nation Radio, also known as KPJC AM 1220 in Salem, Oregon. But we broadcast across the nations on streaming audio from T2TN.com or thejctown.com. And very soon, in fact, starting the 1st of August, 2010, we'll be on KU-band satellite network, just like GLC, so you can hear us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on your KU-band satellite network in Canada, the United States, and Mexico, with teachers like Brad Scott, Rico Cortez, Bill Cloud, Daniel Rindleman, Bill Sanford, David Matthews, Jim Staley, Ralph Messer, and dozens of others that you won't find anyplace else. In fact, that's why we say Hebrew Nation Radio. It's radio you won't get anyplace else. Well, it's been so busy around here, I haven't had a chance to give a 25-minute message for quite a while. In fact, clear back at Father's Day, I started putting something together for my dad. So I decided to go ahead and start an audio message. Now, you might remember that my mom and my dad haven't really crossed over into the Hebraic understanding yet. In fact, there might be a lot of opposition, especially on my dad's side, because he just doesn't get why the old-time religion isn't good enough for me. After all, it was good for Paul and Silas, and shouldn't it be good enough for you, son? And I guess that's really kind of what I want to talk about, Dad, is the faith that was good for Paul and Silas is good enough for us today. And if it really is good enough, then we need to know what it is, not what somebody's told us that it is. So, I wrote you a letter, Dad. It's an audio letter, and it starts something like this. Hi, Dad. I know it isn't Father's Day, and this isn't a Father's Day message like I did for Mom, but you know how things get at the office and at the station. It seems like we just don't get the time to do the important things that we should do, and they never get done until it's too late to do them anyway. But I wanted to give you something. So, do you remember that old nursery rhyme about the cat with the fiddle and the cow that jumped over the moon? Well, back in my younger years, there was a guy named Harry Chapin that wrote a song called Cats in the Cradle. And I'm going to play that for you. So don't stop listening because I have more to say on the other side of the song. But a lot in that is like we have been. There just doesn't seem to be enough time. But here's the song. And the reason I want to bring it up is because I want things to be different than they are.
And frankly, the song scares me to death. My child arrived just the other day. He came through the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad, you know I'm gonna be like you. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, we're gonna have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball. Now come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. It said, I'm gonna be like him, yeah. You know I'm gonna be like him. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, we'll get together then, we're gonna have a good time then. Well, he came from college just the other day, so much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please? And
the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little Boy Blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. We're gonna have a good time then. I've long since retired, my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have a flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. As I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little Boy Blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. You know we'll have a good time.
Well, we're not exactly like that, Dad, but in a lot of ways we are, and that song reminds me of us, because there always seems to be something that keeps us apart. I want you to know that you've been my best friend. In all my life, you've always been there for me. You've always accepted me. You've always helped me, even when you really didn't want to. And I know I've disappointed you in my marriage that I couldn't or didn't want to keep together, and no doubt a host of business things that you wanted to be different. And of course, just the way our family operates these days, it's all been really disappointing to you. But I don't want it to be that way, because you're getting older, and I know someday I'm going to lose you. And just living life knowing that you're not there, that scares me a little bit. And right now, because the ministry's on such a shoestring, and I end up having to do so many things and take up so much time, I hardly ever get to see you guys. But I think we could probably work around all those things. Except for in my pursuit to be just like you, somehow we've separated off a little bit. And it's over the thing we should never have separated off about at all, and that's our faith. So I hope you'll hear me, because I'm chasing after the same thing that you've always said you wanted, and that you taught us kids were important. I'm seeking after God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength, and with all my being, and with whatever resources I can muster and that Yahweh provides. Whether you recognize it or not, Dad, I'm doing exactly what you did. Because the other kids might be too young to remember, but I remember when you packed us up in the middle of the night. You heard a missionary tell about how people in the jungles of Peru, how they needed someone to tell them how they could be saved from an eternity without knowing their creator. Now, you ran the family business, but you gave up that wealth, and you gave up that opportunity, and you gave up everything you knew, and had barely even been out of the state of Oregon. But you took us all to some place you'd never been, without any formal training, without much of an idea what you were even going to do, and you answered the call of God. You know that I call him Yahweh now, because that's his name. That's what's been removed from the Bible 7,000 times. And so in my pursuit for truth and to know him better, that's one thing that's changed. But you simply said yes, and we left all we knew and went into the service of the King, who we didn't even know by name, in a place we'd never been, with people we'd never met. I was only 7 years old when we first arrived in Peru. But you led us there, Dad. You're the one who stopped everything, laid it all down, and said, I have to follow this one whom I love. Dad, I don't know if you thought that your hand was forced prematurely when a little over 2 years later we had to come home because Grandpa was dying of cancer. You never talked about it. But I imagine that you feel like you failed somehow in your mission and didn't finish your task. But I can tell you that that's not the truth. That's just the enemy lying to you. And that all things work together for the good of those who love Yeshua, or Jesus to you and are called according to his purpose. And I know our family is called to spread the gospel of the kingdom of God. And that commission hasn't been removed. It passed from grandma to you when she decided to stop ministering as a teenager and to marry grandpa instead. You took it up when you only got to go to 1 year of Bible college, but had to stop and work instead of continuing on. And then you resumed it when you took us to the deepest, darkest parts of the Amazon. And you passed it to me and my brother Doug, who wants to minister in Mexico, and to my brother David. We've never wanted to do anything besides follow your path, which is our Savior's path. And Dad, you've even been sidetracked with business, thinking that it's all you had to offer. Let's just provide money and provide resources so that those other people can do it. That's not the truth. You're at your best when you're on an airplane, sitting beside somebody and telling them about the one you serve. And we all serve him in different ways. In my brother Dave's case, that just means a really unorthodox thing, walking around places and praying, and Doug becoming a minister or a pastor to another nation. Or in me, all the businesses we've started, all the political offices I've had, or the social connections, these all led to the same place. And in our understanding, we attempted to serve God. But honestly, as big as that was, and still is today, here's the thing, Dad. We wanted to please you. Haven't we all just wanted our daddy's approval? I know you don't understand what I'm teaching now and what I'm learning, but here's the bottom line, Dad. You know far more now than you knew 40 years ago when you went to South America. And you don't know what you'll know 40 years from now if the world exists as we know it and you're blessed with really long life. But it's conceivable because Scripture says that you can be 120 years old, so all things being equal, you might make it. But when you sit back in your chair and think or walk out in the fields with your animals, what do you think I'm trying to prove, Dad? Do you think I'm being rebellious against you, against what you know and what you believe? Do you think that I have something to prove? Or do you really think that my daddy's religion isn't good enough for me? That I wouldn't like my life to be simple and ordinary without the constant tension of being outside currently accepted Orthodox Christian doctrine? I'm like everybody, Dad. I'd like a life of leisure, a day off. I'd like to have some ease and be able to relax with my wife, to have some physical security or even a place to live or a car that I actually own. And I can have whatever I want, but those things aren't my priority. And I know that you regularly wonder, what in the world is Don doing hanging around that station all the time instead of making money and making a better life for himself? And of course, building the family business. In my mind, and I think in the reality of eternity, I'm building a family business. Listen, Dad. I am building the family business, just as you did, and just as you taught us to do. I'm doing everything I can with Cindy's help to follow what I believe you taught us kids to do, to follow after the directions of our Savior, my Messiah, our Messiah, no matter where that road leads. So when I found out that so much of what we'd been taught as Christians wasn't actually what the Bible teaches, it opened up something inside of me that I couldn't put down, this river that I couldn't quench. I had to know more. I had to know why Scripture conflicted with itself, and yet I know it couldn't. I had to know why it was okay for us to keep holidays or take part in practices in our services or in our lives that are clearly offensive to a holy God, the holy God of the same Bible that you read. Dad, I don't want to argue scripture by scripture with you like we've started to once in a while because our basic understanding of what we thought Yahweh or God wanted us to do has been tweaked and twisted from what scripture actually says. And so we don't talk on the same place, on the same playing field. I've heard it described, what I'm doing is interpreting the Bible into Christianese because of a Hebraic context that we did not grow up with. We don't know. There's no way for us to fathom it unless we start baby steps at a time and the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. We don't even know it's there. We think it's being made up by somebody, but there is more. There's no sin in not knowing what you don't know, but there is sin in not learning when you have the opportunity and refusing to listen once you have learned. Then you become responsible. Let me give you some examples of things that I couldn't live with. And I know you hate to discuss some of these things, but truth is truth, and pure is pure, and set apart, or holy, is set apart. there really isn't a middle ground, and you can't take objects of worship from other gods, change the names of that object, and call it Yahweh, call it God. Can't work that way, because then it's not holy anymore. But before I go there, I want to make it really clear that there's no other way to be saved but by faith in the sacrifice of the Lamb, our Savior and Messiah, Jesus Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach. That's the name his mom called him, Yeshua. In fact, I got an email the other day that said, I can guarantee you one thing. Miriam, when she called out the window for her son to come in, Miriam, she never once said, "Hey, Jesus, it's time for dinner." That made me chuckle. So why does something so small as even a name matter? I guess, Dad, it's because I've seen so much that isn't true that when I find truth, I want truth and nothing but the truth, and nothing else is good enough. And that's what I want for everyone. And that's why the radio station is so important to me, because it has a mission. It has the ability to communicate to everyone that what we've learned is only the beginning, that there's so much more that was left out that we couldn't see because we had these blinders on our eyes. And all we have to do is say, I want more. I'll take that. I'll study. I'll learn more. I'll open up my mind to Yahweh and his word and his ways. And it takes someone to tell them. And that's the medium that our Creator has given to me and to Cindy and to this community and to the believers here and to those that are listening. It's the biggest resource that's in the Messianic Hebraic community today, this radio station. And we're going to fight through everything we have to make sure it works until the King tells us to do something else. It's just that simple. So as human beings, Dad, we seem to take traditions on, we take lifestyles on, and we do things in patterns, and we do them over and over the same way, and they become part of us. And they seem natural, and they seem right, and they seem good to us because that's what we've known. And you know why we fall into these patterns and these habits? It's because that's how our Savior, that's how God made us, that's how Yahweh made us, so that we would learn just like children. How do we teach our kids? We teach them the same thing over and over and over. And that's why you have to take the Bible from the beginning of the book, from Genesis to the end, and read it, because the patterns are the same if you know what you're looking for. And that's what we're teaching. And don't you know that the enemy knows that too, that Satan knows exactly the same thing that Yahweh knows, that that's how we learn. And once we've established a pattern, once we've established a cycle in our lives, it's hard for us to break it because we think this is the way that it should be. And that's how our Father wants us to do, though, is to find the right pattern, his way, his context, his will, his mind. Does anyone really, honestly think that he would take a pagan holiday, a time when his son wasn't even born, named after another god, Mithras, the winter solstice, and say, now wait a minute, I'm going to change my son's real birthday and put it over here. We're going to call it another name on another day, celebrate it with pagan practices, and another time of year, but it'll be a Christian holiday. And that's what happened with Christmas and Easter. And I know you hate to talk about those. I'm sorry. And they're not even the most important thing. But they were never part of the plan of the God of the Bible. They never have been, and they never will be. And facts are facts. They don't change just because we want them to be different. But that's only the tip of the iceberg. If we really want to look at things, we have to look at the days we worship. I mean, the fourth commandment says, remember my Sabbath and keep it holy. Yeshua didn't ever come to change the commandments that were given. Yeshua never came to change the commandments that were given to Moses. He couldn't, or he wouldn't have been the Messiah of Israel. He wouldn't have been our Savior if he did. Somehow the modern era and the plan of the enemy have made it so that altogether, it's like this huge conspiracy has come about to say, no longer are we going to keep the days that I have set holy. I mean, Yeshua himself was the representative, the mirror image, the absolute being of God on earth in the form of a man. And yet we're saying that he changed his mind on so many things in order to make modern doctrine work. Well, I really don't want to get into all these things right now, Deb, but my wish is this, that with so little time left in the world, whether it's time in the world that's short for you or short for me, or whether it's short for all of us, we don't have time to let religion stand in the way. We don't have time to let false notions of faith stand in the way. Why? Because it's our relationship that matters. It's my relationship with you that matters. It's my relationship with mom and my brothers and my sisters. It's my relationship with all those around me, with my Hebrew family, with my wife, even my ex-wife. You see, if we have relationship with Yahweh, with our Father, then every other relationship matters. And what we're trying to do here at the station isn't to build another religion. And I've said we're trying to build a nation, not a denomination. It's because the Bible hasn't changed. The nation of Israel that was to be priests to the world is being called back together now to be a set apart holy people, to be out of religion, out of the nations. And we are being gathered together as a people once again. And this time, instead of running away from the holy mountain and saying, I don't like all that fire, I can't stand it, I don't want to hear the voice, I am screaming out to the nations and saying, I want to hear the voice. We want to hear your voice. We want you to let us die for you. And as we die, then our Messiah, our King, Yeshua, then he will come back and regather us, Dad. First he comes and changes us and makes us brand new and makes us like him by his law, by his ways. And he makes us that way on the inside. And he gathers his people together. And then he comes to be with us on the outside again, when we are a nation of priests that will serve him and serve the nations. And that's what I hope for. And that's what I long for. And you may think the wrapping is different, and it is. But it's more than that. It's the fulfillment of what you've wanted in your life and in my life and in the life of your children. Thanks for listening, Dad. I love you. There are so many things that I'd like for you to know, so many things that I've learned, treasures that I've found that I know would absolutely thrill your heart. I'm not going to pester you. If you want to know, you're going to have to ask. Shalom, Papa. Well, that's the letter to my dad. But if you're a mom or a dad, or a brother or a sister or an aunt or an uncle or a pastor, or somebody who knows someone else who is in this thing that you think might be a cult, or it might be some weird teaching you don't get. What are they doing? What are my kids doing? I hope you'll listen to me, somebody who's not related, somebody who's been in the evangelical church all of his life. But things have been revealed to me that should be revealed to you because they're meant for you. This is no secret thing. This is exactly what you've been longing for all of your life. You may not have even known that there was something more for you. But now you know. Be open, be willing, be patient. Water becomes stagnant if there's no outlet for it. And that's what's happened in most of our lives and most of our faith walks, is that it stopped. The water has just stopped. And we become complacent and we become happy with where we are. Content thinking that's all there is. But I'm here to tell you, your journey's just beginning. My name is Don Wyatt. I'm with AM 1220 KPJC. You can reach me at don@t2tn.com, or the station number is 503-316-1220. Shalom, everybody.